Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
This is Radio Influence. The future is now.
All right. Flavor. Please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up. Sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around. No fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels. You don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
What's up, everybody? This is Ian Beckles and welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. This is my podcast. Kind of easy listening. We talk very little sports, but I'll talk a little sports today, not a whole lot. I won't burn your ear with it. This is a podcast where I talk a lot of pop culture and some politics and my opinions. And, you know, I'm not a very political person. This is my way I can get it out. You know, if you look at me on social media and you follow me at Ian Beckles, I don't have any of my politics on my social media because that's not. It's not good. It's not good for business. But this is a place where I'm not holding a whole lot back. These are my opinions, and I'm going to go with them. If you guys want to ask me questions or go at me anyway, which is cool, you can catch me at Ian Beckles at Radio Influence, and you can ask me any questions you want, whether it's football, politics. You know, I'm not the smartest person when it comes to politics, but I do have an opinion. I am watching all these shows, and I'm listening to other people's opinions as well. And I know what I like, but I know what I don't like. I don't have a side. I wasn't born with a side, or being brought up in Canada. I didn't have an opinion too much until I got here. I really haven't been involved in a whole lot of politics. But as of late, I've been curious, and maybe it's a crazy time to become curious in politics because I'm not sure it's ever been this crazy. Now, Christmas is right around the corner, and everybody's all giddy. Christmas at times makes me, it gets me a little on the edge because they're playing Christmas carols already. It's not even December. I try to put on the Dove and listen to some old school Bee Gees and stuff, and I got to listen to the Little Drummer Boy. Like, I'm not personally trying to listen to a lot of Christmas carols. So for those of you who love Christmas carols, congratulations, but 6 weeks of it's probably a little bit too much for me. So, like I said, we don't talk a whole lot of sports on Flavor in Your Ear, but we got to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Buccaneers, who lost another game last week. Obviously not heading in the right direction. Jameis Winston being the big story right now. Jameis is coming back this week from a shoulder injury. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen with Jameis Winston when he gets back, and what's going to happen to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Jameis Winston is a starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's it. It's not Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's not going to be next year. It has to be Jameis Winston. So when Jameis Winston's healthy, he's going to be the starting quarterback, so that's going to be the way it goes. You can't allow somebody to come in and play three games and overthrow somebody that's the future of your team. That doesn't bode well for anybody. So Jason Light and Dirk Cutter are doing the right thing and putting Jameis Winston back in there. Now, that being said, Jameis Winston, this is go time for him now because he's never been on the field with pressure, and he's going to have pressure on him now that he's back out there because Ryan Fitzpatrick ran the offense better and more efficiently than Jameis Winston did. If he comes back in and then all of a sudden they have problems moving the ball, people are going to start saying, hey, maybe he's a problem, because when Jameis was healthy, at times he was the worst player on the football field at times. So he has to prove to himself that he's back and he's ready to roll. So I hope that Jameis is back healthy. I hope that we start moving the ball again. I wouldn't wait too long about getting any victories, because going to Green Bay with Hundley as their quarterback, that's a good chance to win, although they're starting to look a little bit better. After that, I don't see a victory on this schedule. The Bucs today put Ali Marpet and DeMar Dotson on IR. I've never heard of linemen with sprains going on IR with five games left, but I guess that's where they are as a franchise. But the direction is swayed bad. This Buccaneer team went from a team of the future that looks like it's heading the right direction to a team that's in turmoil that might throw a grenade in the middle of that locker room real, real soon. So if they don't figure out a way to muster up two wins or so in these last five games, something has to happen. You know, Jason Light's contract up, Dirk Cutter's on the hot seat. A lot of different players are looking around thinking, what's going to happen? So I hope the Buccaneers figure out a way to get this thing all taken care of. Now, the big story happening this week was the apprehension of Howell Donaldson. So Mr. Seminole Heights, who the killer, who we all thought was going to be this mastermind as a young kid, 24 years old, who lives in Seminole Heights and works at McDonald's, doesn't even live in Seminole Heights. He's going back and forth. And I predicted that myself. If he lived in Seminole Heights, I would think that they would see him walking on video with as many cameras as they had. But this kid went to Alonzo High School, played basketball, and ironically, my daughter met him before, and he was friends with one of her good friends. And he played basketball for Alonzo, and he's 24. My daughter's 23. So they were in the same circles way back when in high school. So as soon as my daughter saw him, she knew that she knew him. And what was crazy is he's as clean as he was all the way through the investigation, because he was clean for this young kid to evade, you know, every member of the Tampa PD for that long is kind of a big deal. So he kept himself clean for quite a while. He got real, real messy at the end, telling one of his workers to check one of his bags and, you know, take care of this bag. I got some things. It got real funny at the end, almost to where he felt like getting caught. And you don't really see somebody who murders four people go down that easily. I kind of like to pick his brain a little bit and find out what he was getting out of that or what the whole situation was. So it's good to see that the people of Seminole Heights can now breathe and now live a normal life. Talking to some of the people there, you know, some of the businesses were down 50% and people were scared to walk the streets. I know nobody that I knew was heading to Seminole Heights. It didn't make any sense. So it's good that they got this young man. And you know, you hope that there's no copycats out there, because that seems to happen all the damn time. And it seemed like that was going on for 6 months. That was about 6 weeks. That seemed like 6 months. When I heard it was 6 weeks, I mean, that was the longest damn 6 weeks ever, because, you know, everybody obviously was walking on eggshells. Now, a few other things that happened this week. Meghan Markle, this young lady who was on the show Suits, which I've never seen before, she's going to be marrying Prince Harry. Now, I've heard of Prince Harry. I'm the most non-royal dude ever. I don't give a crap about the royal family for nothing. I really don't. I don't know why people make a big deal out of it. And I really have had no reason to ever care about the royal family until now. Meghan Markle, who I've never seen before, might be the finest light-skinned girl I've ever seen in my entire life. It used to be Stacey Dash, who's pretty damn fine. Now this Meghan Markle, after I saw one picture, then two pictures, then 50 pictures, then 2,000 pictures, and yes, I dug pretty deep. She is unbelievable. And, you know, you're going to have a light-skinned girl now that's going to be royalty, which is good. That's good for everybody. It's good to put a little chocolate and something to swirl it up a little bit. There's not a whole lot of chocolate going on, I don't think, in the royal family. But this young lady is already a rock star, and she's already dealing with fame, which is good. And she's already becoming a fashion icon. Whatever she was wearing the other day, you can't find it on the planet anymore. So maybe she's the right one. And she seems like the most civilized one since Princess Diana. So don't run her off and kill her. So Meghan Markle is somebody I was exposed to for the first time, and I don't know how Hollywood hid her. But anything she's in now is going to be a big deal. Now, she probably is not going to be in that many movies now that she is royalty. I guess she doesn't need to, you know, because the money's going to be all right. When you run a whole country, the money's going to be all right. Now, for those who like to go out and get massages, Massage Envy is a company that's been around for a while. And I guess they came out and found out that Massage Envy, there was a lot of different situations where there was molesting going on and illegal touchings and personally, I don't know why anybody is shocked. Personally, I've always said this. Like, I'm a heterosexual man. If I'm rubbing on a girl or a young lady with oil, there's no way to not make that sexual. That's my opinion. You can have any opinion you want. But if you're an attractive young lady and a heterosexual man is rubbing up on you and applying oil and there's not sex going through his head, then I'm not sure what is. And you know what? Vice versa. If you're a young man laying on a table, a young lady's rubbing on you, both people's going to get aroused. I mean, that's just the way it goes. Oh, what happened is this person grazed this person. That's what the hell's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. I mean, I'm not a big massage guy. I don't like a whole lot of people like touching me like that. I go for a little adjustment. I have a girl, Dina, but it's not a sensual thing. It's a work my ass thing, like stretching and maneuvering and manipulating. So a lot of it is actual physical work. But for you to get butt naked and lay on a table and have somebody rub you full of oil, and you don't think somebody's going to kind of graze something or kind of step over a line, then come on. Come on. And, you know, for all these dirty molesting type dudes, okay, and we can put them all out there. We can put Harvey Weinstein out there. We could put Jerry Sandusky out there. And I don't want to put them in the same, vein as those guys. But if you're molesty type people, you put yourself in situations where you can get away with stuff. And a masseuse, come on, man. That's easy. That's easy. So I personally was not shocked. And if you own Massage Envy and they have a couple complaints, your so-and-so touched me inappropriately, and you look to see that's one of your better masseuses, if you're not getting sued, you ain't going to do nothing. You're really not. And if you own Massage Envy and your best, your best masseuse, you find out that she's giving handies for extra money. This is business now. We're trying to make money. There could be worse things out there. So I love when people are shocked. Oh, my God, it's amazing that the people are doing that at Massage Envy. Come on now. This is America, and it's 2017. We have to stop being shocked. Now, I'm not much of a shopping guy anymore. I used to love to walk around the mall and shop and get running shoes and all that kind of stuff when I used to have money. Not so much anymore. I'm just trying to save my money as I get old. Black Friday went by, and there was $5 billion in sales, which is crazy. But all those numbers are always going down because people don't really shop anymore. And Cyber Monday came around, $6.6 billion in sales. Now, if I would put any money on any kind of stock, I'd put money in Amazon. You listen to this figure. Amazon, during Cyber Monday, sold 740 items per second. 740 items per second Amazon sold on Cyber Monday. There's a lot of seconds in the day, everybody. I'm not doing that math in my head, but that's a whole lot of stuff. I'm sure the price points vary, but if you're selling 740 things a second, I think your business is going to be all right. So for all the retail businesses out there, if there's any more and there's not that many, hold on to yourself, because people don't want to leave their house anymore. They want to sit, they want to hit a keyboard, and they want to buy something and for it to be at their door maybe the next day. Seriously. I mean, it's that easy. Now, I brought up Harvey Weinstein earlier, and I bring him up still as one of the dons of this whole movement that's coming around. He's one of the dons. Bill Cosby's one of the dons, and there's a few others. When this is all said and done, I'm not sure Matt Lauer's not going to be the face of this whole thing. Now, Matt Lauer, who you could arguably 3 days ago was one of the most popular people in Hollywood, and maybe one of the best reputations, allegedly. And Matt Lauer gets canned what seemed like a day after an accusation, but you know very well that stuff's been going on a long time. There was a interview with Katie Couric years ago, and I can't remember who it was, but I asked him, hey, tell us something about Matt Lauer that we don't know. And she says, well, he pinches my butt a lot. And she had a face on her like not really all that good with it. Listen, Matt Lauer was a powerful man. Was. $28 million he's making a year. I mean, that tells you how powerful he is. And to me, how much covering up had to be happening? For all these different situations, a lot of people had to have been covering up. And the part that bothers me is a lot of them are women. A lot of women are helping these guys molest other women. And when you talk about the deviance of it, Harvey Weinstein, for the last young lady that was suing him, she was basically suing him for sex trafficking. And it sounded crazy to me for a second, but then I really listened to the whole situation. And Harvey Weinstein's whole company was involved with him getting young models and young up-and-coming actresses, you know, seeking them out, bringing them to Harvey Weinstein, and him preying on them. I mean, that's sex trafficking. I mean, that's the epitome of it. And, you know, the statute of limitations and all that kind of stuff is different. So I want Harvey Weinstein. I personally, like, Bill Cosby is so damn old. Like, you know, he can't see no more. Bill ain't going no damn where. Harvey Weinstein, I like to see behind bars. You know, if Bill went behind bars, it wouldn't hurt my feelings either. I just don't think it'd be as much of an effect as if Harvey Weinstein goes back there. And the fellas want to get to Harvey Weinstein too, you know that. But they literally had nicknames, you know, FOH, that's friends of Harvey, that they get treated certain ways, and they know if they act any which way, they're going to get the job. It's really disgusting. And I was happy to see the son of Mia Farrow, his name was Ronan. He went after Harvey real hard. Like, everybody else was scared of him, and this guy stayed after him. Now, this is, I believe, the son-in-law of Woody Allen, who supposedly molested his sister when she was 7. I'm going to say supposedly, but I know very well he did. And then afterwards, well, Woody Allen proceeded to marry his adopted Asian daughter. Woody Allen was let get away with a whole lot of stuff. Woody Allen, Michael Jackson, a lot of different people. Allowed to get away with a lot of crap. But to me, what's crazy about this whole thing is everybody, once again, is being bunched together. You hear Richard Branson's name come out. He was motorboating somebody at a party. You know, motorboating somebody at a party when you're drunk is not the same as Matt Lauer having an automatic lock on his door, luring girls in and locking the door behind them. Or it's not the same as Harvey Weinstein, you know, luring girls in and saying, you know, let's do this or else. That's not the same as that. Yeah, you're going to get a drunk billionaire. Sometimes you'll catch a motorboat. You know, that guy doesn't deserve to ruin his life or even, you know, Al Franken, and I don't know Al Franken worth a darn, but there's a picture of you 30 years ago cupping some girl's breast when she's sleeping and not really touching her. You know, that's not the same as the other sexually deviant dudes a la Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein and, you know, and Jerry Sandusky and guys like that. So unfortunately for everybody whose name are coming up now, you're going to get lumped in with all these other scumbags out there. And I don't know what to think anymore because your president basically said, don't worry about Roy Moore and touching kids and being a molester. We need his vote. Don't worry about that. We need his vote because we have to get this tax bill, blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about him. Don't worry about the 17 allegations that are against me, too. Don't worry about that. Like, Trump's not going to say nothing about none of these other people because he's the biggest scumbag pig out there. So don't worry about that. But don't worry about him molesting kids and being banned from malls. Let's vote him into Congress so he can make all the decisions out there. Yay. That's what we want. We want scumbag, sexist, racist pigs making all these decisions. Homophobic, the whole nine yards. The whole nine yards. These damn politicians are either homophobes, sexist pigs, or closet homosexuals. I'd be okay if you came out and said, I'm gay, I'm running, and I'm gay. I'd be fine. But it's the closet ones that are voting against all the LGBT rights, and you find out that they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend behind closed doors. Normally, boyfriends usually. Now, Donald Trump, to me, he can't say five words without saying something really stupid. I mean, really stupid. So when he went to Puerto Rico and told everybody, well, this is not nearly as bad as to Katrina. Okay. Is it the worst thing you can do? No, but it's not really close to the best thing you can do. Like, if you give somebody a book of things you can't say in front of white, black, women, Indians, Puerto Ricans, doesn't matter what it is, I think Donald Trump looks up the book and he says whatever that is. Whatever you're not supposed to say, he wants to say in front of a bunch of other people. So this one Senator Warren, who I guess said that she was Indian and may not be, you know, he also said that Obama is not American, but I guess she said she was Indian and is not. He called her Pocahontas in front of Navajo Indians, who, by the way, in front of a portrait of Jefferson, who obviously did love the Indians. Now, I don't know if I'm going to blame that on Trump. That's not the biggest thing in the world, but everybody knows there's a couple derogatory type words for Indians, and Pocahontas is one of them. Everybody knows that, except for Donald Trump. Like, how does he not know that? How does he not know that that's, you know, at least offensive? How does he not know that? And after his regime, politically correctness, that's not going to exist anymore, you know? And then they had the whole thing where they're supposed to do these tax cuts and Pelosi's supposed to be there. And then he talks bad about them on Twitter. And how old are we now? Are we five? Then they don't show up. And then I got to hear, well, they want to raise taxes and we want to lower taxes. Who wants to raise taxes? Who wants to raise taxes? Who is that? If you're a bad car salesman, you know what you sound like? Him. If you're a bad car salesman, this is a great car. This is the greatest car. It has the best mileage and it's the best, greatest car. Why is it on the lot? If it's the biggest tax cut ever, why are you selling it? You shouldn't have to sell anything. If it's the greatest anything, you shouldn't have to sell a damn thing. Everything's the biggest and the greatest and all these damn things. And he can't let this NFL thing go. You know what's funny? When everything is starting to calm down a little bit and it's kind of going away, he'll rehash it. Like, I think that's his agenda. His agenda is to keep people pissed off at others so that he could pretty much shit on himself. That's real talk. Like, I want a lot of attention to be on these NFL players as I do all this craziness behind closed doors that I have no idea what I'm doing. But he's still coming out talking about NFL players when nobody else is. Don't know how that's affecting his world. I really don't. But I don't know how this whole thing is going to turn out. I don't. The NFL is supposed to come out and donate a bunch of money to inner city, you know, communities, and they want that to make everything better. Colin Kaepernick didn't kneel way back when so that the NFL teams could just blindly give money to communities. He's trying to figure out ways to stop what's happening, the inequality. And you know what? The root of the evil is not, you know, underprivileged communities. He's talking about rich folks. He's talking about people with money. Let's try to affect them. Let's go to the police force and let's get in those guys' ears and let's find out what's going on in the police force that all this, you know, abuse is happening that doesn't need to be happening. Let's figure that out. But to go in the community where everybody's being affected, that's, thank you for the money, yes, but that's not going to help anything at all. And I really have not heard anything since Colin Kaepernick knelt way back in the day that anybody said they've done to help this situation, except for bellyache and saying that kneeling is the most un-American thing in the world. You know what's less un-American than kneeling? Touching boys and touching little girls. That is almost the American way now, touching little girls. Ha! How about that? But kneeling to the anthem is the worst thing ever. But he will support somebody that touches little girls at the mall. I just think if anybody was in a coma for the last 20 years and just woke up, I think they'd be shocked at the things that are being allowed now, because it's getting to a point where it's actually very, very disgusting. I'm discussing a lot of stuff happening right now, and it's almost embarrassing. And I hope other countries aren't watching us because it's embarrassing. Because we're bickering and moaning about stuff that really and truly doesn't matter. And we're letting stuff slide that really does matter. We're things that are going to affect people's lives forever. Those are the things we're not dealing with. And all the other little bickery stuff. Like, I gotta listen to LeVar Ball and Donald Trump bicker. I mean, seriously. Those are two scumbags on two different ends of the earth. I don't care what those guys think of each other. There's no reason for those guys to like each other. Nobody else likes them individually. But those are the things we keep on talking about that are allegedly important when we should be talking about, okay, Obamacare and, okay, if it's not good, then how do we make it better? Forget about just revoking something just to do it. How do we make it better? But this is my problem. We are not civilized as people to get the two sides together to discuss anything. So how are we going to come to any conclusions? Because, and I heard our president say yesterday, I'm the only one that's important. And that's what scares me. Because that sounds like Roger Goodell speaking. When you say I'm the only one that's important, that means I'm going to make all the decisions and you guys are going to like him regardless. And that's the kind of things that definitely terrify me. I hope they terrify you as well. That's for sure. Now, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, on Saturday, I'm going to be at Acropolis on Kennedy with Ray Lampe doing our show Flavor. And on Sunday, I'm going to be at Chef Inspired Popcorn. I got Johnny B. I have a representative from True Lead, which is a legal medical marijuana company. And we'll be hanging out there, having a wonderful time. Chef Inspired Popcorn right now is on Beta Bay, which is next to Cappy's and right across from Pinky's. I appreciate you guys listening. Numbers are still going up, which is a good thing. Every week, we're flavoring your ear. Also on Monday, we have In the Trenches if you guys want to hear me talk a little bit more football. And you never know, you might be talking about a Buccaneers win in Green Bay. If not, we'll be talking about how high our draft pick's going to be next year, unfortunately. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor.
In your ear, ear.
Flavor.
In your ear.
Bringing that flavor.
In your ear, ear.
Flavor.
Radio Influence brings you the absolute best in digital audio broadcasting. We've got something for everyone. Sports personalities like the fabulous Sports Babe, Rich Herrera, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy as they take you inside the dugout. We'll take you inside the world of MMA with the MMA Report with Jason Floyd, the MMA Insiders, and the Valor Hour with Tim Loy and Casey Oxidine. Or you could find yourself sitting ringside with wrestling ring announcer David Penzer. TV law enforcement analyst and former police officer Vincent Hill breaks down this week's biggest crime stories and takes you beyond the badge. Chef Brian Duffy from TV's Bar Rescue shares his crazy life on the road with Duffified Live. And Scott Ledger will always make you think with some dangerous conversation. All of Radio Influence's shows can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.